Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and good to be back. It's always weird when there's any part of the show that I don't do. Because, like yesterday, it was the weirdest thing getting in the car at 7 o'clock and heading over to Milton for Leadership Santa Rosa and listening to somebody else do my show. Davis, you did great.
You did really Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. They said I should just take it over, but
yeah, I only had about 15 minutes to hear you. But yeah, it's always odd. And then, you know, I was coming, whenever I prep after I've missed a day, I always think like, all right, what was covered and what didn't get said and what did get said and what topics, you know, it's weird. it's definitely a weird thing to have a half a day off. The Leadership Santa Rosa was great yesterday, by the way. It was fantastic. We had some really, really interesting and informative presentations. Learned a lot about, for example, Gold Ring was great. The presentation from the guy at Gold Ring was fantastic. Really good information about, for example, Pace Water System. Like, you wouldn't think you could do 45 minutes. No, you really can. It's really fascinating stuff. With questions and answers and all that. So we're not going to do any of that today. I got some really good stuff out of there. We'll talk about it Monday or Tuesday. It's not timely necessarily, but it's really interesting. On the other hand, today is a day where I have, not just because I wasn't on for half the show yesterday, but just in general, like, if I just about read you, if I read you the headline and told you my thoughts, we'd be 4 hours. And we're not going to do it that way. So where to start? Well, let's start with the Pensacola Police Chief search. Because as far as local issues go, this is the most significant local issue that we got going on right now. This is a big deal. We've been waiting for a while to find out what the search committee would recommend and who the mayor was going to pick from for his next police chief. And for those who don't know, the background to all of this is that about a year ago, there was a search done, and rightly fine, no big deal, this is fine, do a search to find the best person to be the assistant chief of police. And Grover's theory, Mayor Robinson's theory, is we want to have the person in charge, and then we want to have the next person in charge getting trained, getting ready to go. That's a line of succession. That's a good plan, right? I mean, that makes sense. We do that in sort of all of these areas around the city. That's a good plan. So we had Chief Leiter was in place and wanted to find, you know, who should be the next assistant chief. And they went through a national search, and the national search said Kevin Christman. Kevin Christman, who was a captain at the time and who was the former commander of the SWAT team. And when he became a captain, he moved off SWAT. And so he's been off that for a couple of years. Good guy. I know him fairly well. I've gotten to know him since then even better. But good guy. I'm really good guy. So fine. All makes sense. Well, then you have a sheriff's election. And Chip Simmons wins sheriff. And Tommy Leiter, who had already been in the drop program to leave the department, left about 3 years early to go become the chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. A decision that everybody understands, a decision that nobody, once Chip won the election, which we all kind of knew was going to happen anyway, or figured, it not all that surprising. What was surprising is we just thought maybe he'd, you know, wait a couple more years, but maybe that position goes away by then. So it's understandable. Okay, so he leaves. Well, that leaves the chief position vacant. Who's the assistant chief? That's the whole point. That person is supposed to move up to be the chief of police. So Kevin Christman moves up. No big deal. As interim. And then is he going to be the permanent chief of police? Well, the mayor says, no, we're going to conduct a nationwide search. And all of us who follow PPD pretty closely were baffled by this decision. You already did a search 6 months prior. This is, you know, last fall. You already did a search 6 months prior. Christman is your guy. The Fraternal Order of Police likes Kevin Christman. The command staff likes Kevin Christman. there's nobody. Like, I've not heard a single person come out, oh, I don't like him. No, I mean, he's a good leader. He's a capable cop. He's known in Pensacola. He's been here for his whole career. There's just no question. There's no problem. So there you go. This is why you hire an assistant chief. So that you can... And the mayor says, look, no, we need to cast a wider net because we need to make sure we've got the right candidate. We were hoping for a couple of extra years of training. We were hoping for a couple of on-the-job years so we could get him really ready to be chief. And all the rest of us are like, he's ready. He's fine. What else happened in the meantime? George Floyd protests. Graffiti bridge protests. Protests shutting down Bayfront. People, you know, causing traffic to stop. One person getting on the hood of a car. Dream Defenders. Haley Morissette. Citizens Police Advisory Committee. All gets formed. Pressure on the mayor. The monument comes down. Pressure on the mayor. Race issues. Looming election 2 years hence where, you know, if the mayor doesn't get this stuff right, maybe he doesn't, you know, win re-election because he faced a revolt from black voters in Pensacola who had been supporting him previously. Maybe Commissioner May runs. Maybe he loses. Okay, a lot of things swirling if you want to understand the politics of it all. So then, and I watched every single Citizen Police Advisory Committee. I've told you all about those. So then they're going through this search, and at each level of the search, you know, Crisman applies, of course. And then at each level, he gets through to the next round. Not a surprise. Capable, competent, local, well-known, good experience running the agency. Running it very well by everybody's account. And then yesterday happened. And yesterday, we got the official press release that the three finalists for the chief of police have been announced. Booker Hodges, the Assistant Commissioner of Law Enforcement for the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, John Ortolano, Chief of Police in New Mexico, one of the agencies in New Mexico, and Eric Randall, Assistant Chief of Police at Newport News Police Department in Virginia. That's it. Crisman didn't make the cut. And I started swearing at my computer because I just couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it that the current acting, long-standing, well-liked, respected, and beloved chief of police that the former chief, Simmons, wanted, that the previous chief, Leiter, wanted, that everybody I know wants, was the guy that wasn't on the list. I just couldn't believe it. The selection committee is City Administrator Keith Wilkins, good guy. Deputy City Administrator Kareth Fidler, I don't know all that well. He's relatively new to the post, okay? I don't have any problem with him. I just don't know him all that well. I've only, you know, it's kind of a high-high kind of relationship. Human Resources Director Ted Kirchar, I don't know him very well except for watching him on Zoom meetings for City Council. I don't think I've ever met the guy. Pensacola Fire Department Chief Jenny Craner, she's awesome. She's fantastic. Good people. City Attorney Susan Wolf, good people, okay? I have no idea how this decision got made. It wasn't made in the public. It wasn't made in the sunshine. It's not obligated to be made in the sunshine. How on earth he doesn't get included in this list is beyond me. And on top of that, okay, and here's where we get into the, like, parts of this. Booker Hodges from Minnesota. John Ortolano from New Mexico. And Eric Randall from Virginia. Nobody from the South. I wish I didn't have to mention this, but I feel like if I don't mention it, I'm failing to tell you facts. Booker, you know, Hodges and Randall are black, Ortolano is Hispanic. No white candidates made the final cut. Kevin's white, in case you didn't know. I don't really care, but it is a fact. It's a weird fact. A little bit. It's a little weird that the three finalists for this job are all not Southern, not white. Now, when I've read through their bios, Booker Hodges seems very capable. He's more of a public figure kind of guy. John Ortolano seems very capable. He's, you know, a law enforcement guy. Eric Randall might be capable, but he's basically on par experience-wise with Crisman. He's an assistant police chief at Newport News, which is, he's not even the chief. But he's at Newport News, which is like 180,000 people, like, you know, 3 to 4 times Pensacola size. How is it possible? And I don't, again, this is all I know is the release because we haven't met these guys. How is he on the list and Kevin's not? How don't you have Kevin at least as the fourth person? Now, there's going to be some public discussion about this. You know, there's going to be public commentary. But this is bad. What's wrong with PPD that needs fixing, that you got to bring in people from the outside the region to fix it? PPD is like the shining jewel of law enforcement in our area. It's not that other agencies are bad. It's the PPD is that good and has been historically that good. What's broken? You know, and look, Escambia County does not have a good track record of bringing in the outside expert from a nationwide search to do a thing here. I don't want to name names. If you know the history of recent hires, you'd be able to put the names in. They have not worked out. He knows the culture. He knows the people. He knows the neighborhoods. He knows the agency. They're on the cutting edge of pretty much every law enforcement trend there is. And we always, you know, well, people are calling for the cops to do this. We already do that, you know? And he's grown up in that culture with Simmons and Leiter before him. And Alexander, who was briefly the chief of police. This is bad. And I got this news late last night. So I haven't had a chance to talk to a lot of folks, but I am very concerned about morale in the department. I'm very concerned about what this means. Look, Kevin is a great guy. He's going to keep doing his job. He's going to support whoever gets hired. He's going to be a soldier. That's what he does. This is bad. Really, really bad for PPD. And for the city. And for... how is this going to work over the next year or two? It's really not anything about these three candidates. It's just the decision to do nationwide search didn't make sense. We said it many times. The decision to not include the, as I said, widely respected, certainly capable, well-experienced acting chief of police on the finalist list is nuts. Terrible. For this department, there's no way to like softball this. This is bad. 5:21 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
No sleep till.
Oh, that's good stuff. 5:23 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hey, look, no rain for a change. It's kind of a weird one. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
Another mass shooting in America hours ago in Indiana. 8 people gunned down overnight at the FedEx facility near the Indianapolis airport. Witnesses left in shock.
I can't believe it. You know, I'm going to work, get some money. I don't know why would they bring guns to work or why would there be an argument so bad that the shoot.
Authorities say the gunman took his own life. They haven't said yet whether he was an employee of the facility. An attorney for the family of a 13-year-old boy shot by Chicago police says he did not have a gun in his hand. Believes the seventh grader tossed it behind a fence before turning to face the officer. Body cam video shows the officer chasing him, yelling, "Drop it."
Yeah, it's interesting. Of course, the officer yells, "Drop it," and you got to begin with the premise that he sees something. I've watched the video. It's incredibly hard to tell because it's like at the edge of the frame and out of the frame and jumping around because he's running. Top of the hour, Fox News said that he did drop a gun. There was a gun recovered. We don't know. It's awful. And also the 21-year-old that was arrested with them for gunfire discharge. It's hard to know what happened in the circumstance. And yet That's the point is right. It's hard to tell for sure.
Amazon spending a record amount on video and music content. The tech giant forking over $11 billion last year, up from about $8 billion the year before. Amazon uses its video and music content as a benefit for Prime members.
Very good. Mark, thanks so much for the update. 5:25 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Bonacus & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Bonacus & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Bonacus & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Bonacus & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkenes and online at flacpas.com. Bonacus & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
All right, so you're going to buy a very complicated mechanical device, your automobile, and then you're never going to do anything with it again unless it breaks. Good plan? Terrible plan. I mean, you know, look, you know, but everybody falls on a scale somewhere between not ever wanting to do anything with their car and understanding the importance of it. Just like a doctor, you know, do you go to the doctor for routine regular checkups? Yes. Well, you should. Or do you just go when you break an arm or something, or, you know, you have a high fever? Well, it's a terrible way to approach it. You want to stay in good health and you want to keep your car in good health. The difference is, you know, both of these are complex mechanical systems. Your body at least will self-heal. The car will not self-heal. So here's what you do. You go to Bobby Likas on Davis Highway and you say, I always hear Andrew talking about you guys. What do I need to do with my car? Can you just look it over? He said, why would you look over a healthy car? Because you don't know. And you want to catch these things before they're problems. In addition to doing all the belts and hoses and oil changes and routine maintenance and tune-ups, you just want to periodically look at the car and make sure everything is the way that it should be. Now, if that makes sense to you, you know, and if you like the idea of a shop that's going to try to prevent problems before they happen so that you have less inconvenience and less cost, then go to Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway or check them out online at carclinicservice.com. AM 1620. Yeah, we were just kind of having this conversation about definitions off the air. You know, what is a mass shooting? As you've got this FedEx mass shooting where, what is it, six people were killed? I think that's eight. Oh, it's eight now. Eight plus the murderer, right? Eight people plus the murderer, right? Thank you. And now at Oakwood Terrace overnight, you know, the apartment projects behind the, used to be behind barbed wire, they took down the barbed wire, but it's a compound, okay, over on off W Street-ish, it's in that vicinity, W and Brent, it's a little south of there, anyway, in which you, it's one of these places where you're kind of, periodically, you will always hear bad stories come out of there, like Pensacolaville, same kind of thing, and you had six people shot overnight, people pulled up in a car, and then started shooting people in a group. Good Lord. Now, this is not going to make national news because at the moment, anyway, nobody's passed away. Thank God. But just imagine you're outside some building. 6 o'clock in the afternoon. This is not a 2 a.m. party. And people in a car drive up and start shooting at the crowd. Ugh, it's unbelievable. And, you know, is that a mass shooting? Yes. Yes, it is. Well, nobody died. It's... Mm-hmm. 529 on news. It does seem like, you know, we went the longest time during COVID, obviously, without really too much happening. And now it just seems like it's every day or multiple, in this case, multiple times a day. I mean, that was last night. The FedEx thing was last night, you know. It's unbelievable. 529 on news. I don't know what reaction it produces for you. I know for me. It makes me just kind of wonder how we're doing in general as a society. And maybe this is just like that knee-jerk conservative sense reaction, but it makes me like, this is why I carry. You know, this is why good people need to have a gun. Because you never know where, and you never know when, and it's most likely never going to be you. But you don't want to be the person that said, well, you know, I never thought it'd be me, and then it was. Because it's somebody. Mark Jacobs, what do you have coming up, sir?
We will have the latest in that incident last night. Multiple people shot, and investigators don't have anybody in custody yet.
Down by the banks of the river Charles. Ah, that glad to join my colleagues in introducing the Judiciary Act of 2021 to establish the Supreme Court size as 13. That's a nice number. It matches. It's not a nice number. It's a proper number. It matches the number of circuits as it has historically, and it also will enable us to do justice and to rectify the great injustice that was done in packing the court.
So Jerry Nadler, who is the Democratic chair of the House Judiciary Committee, oversee one of the impeachment. Well, I guess not really, because it was done in the Intelligence Committee. Anyway, Jerry Nadler yesterday with a gaggle of other Democrats, including don't let Guam tip over Hank Johnson. Yes, I'm not joking. That's a real thing. He argued in this, but I digress. Hank Johnson is one of the other key movers and shakers on this thing. They introduced the legislation to raise the number of Supreme Court justices from 9, as it currently sits, to 13. Why? I mean, either you understand, in which case I don't need to explain it to you, or you don't understand, in which case, how much time we got. You know, like, they want to swing the Supreme Court full-blown liberal. That's the goal. That's the stated goal. We're trying to rectify the fact that Merrick Garland didn't get a hearing to get on the Supreme Court under President Obama, and that's what opened up the seat to eventually be held by Gorsuch, and then Kavanaugh got his, and then Amy Coney Barrett right up against the election. The Republicans went ahead and confirmed her, even though they said under Obama they wouldn't confirm somebody in the heat of a presidential election. There are distinctions to be drawn. There are nuances to be mentioned, but that's the long and the short of it. They're angry they don't have a majority, and they say, well, look, you had the power and you did your thing, and then we had the power, and now we're going to do our thing.
Some people will say we're packing the court. We're not packing it. We're unpacking it. Senator McConnell and the Republicans packed the court over the last couple of years, as Senator Markey outlined. So this is a reaction to that. It's a necessary step in the evolution of the court, and I'm proud to co-sponsor it.
So we're going to pack it with a negative, negative number by unpacking the... this is 100% a raw, naked power grab. 100%. That's not what's wrong with it. That's what... I mean, you're going to hear that a lot from Republicans. And it's true. This is them rewriting the rules because they didn't win, because they didn't get their purposes accomplished. In order to get their purposes accomplished, in order to pack the Supreme Court in advance with favorable justices that they think will, you know, lay down and say whatever Joe Biden wants to do is right, or whatever the Congress wants to do is right. This means, for example, this will be gun control, okay, among other things. So that's not the point. That's not even close to the point. Justice Stephen Breyer, who he would not call himself a liberal, but everybody else would. I'll call him a liberal. I don't love that way of talking about court justices, but it is the way we talk these days. He gave a two-hour speech, the Scalia lecture, Antonin Scalia lecture at Harvard about a week or so ago. 2 hours long. Gripping. And I'm not being facetious. Gripping. Fabulous stuff. Really, really good information. I watched the whole thing. Yeah, you watched a two-hour speech by Stephen Breyer about, yes, because it's important. And what he did in the course of that speech is explained why the Democrats in Congress and President Biden are profanity idiots if they push ahead with this. Now, the good news is that Nancy Pelosi has said that she doesn't want to bring this bill to the floor. But you've got this 40-person commission the president's put in place or going to put in place that's going to bring recommended revisions and maybe raise the number of justices on the court is going to be one of them. He says, no, don't do it. Now, he didn't come out and say it quite that sternly, but if you understand how to read what's being said, that's what he said for 2 hours. Don't do this. A liberal, one of the most liberal justices on the Supreme Court, a brilliant man, a very capable jurist, somebody I have great respect for, though I disagree with him a lot. Here's the thing. He goes through all these historical examples of how the court has gotten to where it is today. And where it is today is actually very, very healthy. Because in the beginning, the court had no authority. The court didn't even have the ability to affirm or strike down unconstitutional laws until Marbury versus Madison, where they pulled off a brilliant, just a, like an M. Night Shyamalan Sixth Sense twist ending to a court case that wound up avoiding a political dilemma, granting the president the ability to do something he wanted to do that was illegal. President Jefferson, by the way, but in the end did it in a way that increased their own power to either strike down or uphold laws as being unconstitutional, which basically the law that Jefferson violated in not granting Marbury the commission was actually, it's a convoluted story, they declared that that law was unconstitutional and thereby upheld what Jefferson wanted to do by striking down a congressional law and raising their power, creating the idea that the Supreme Court could rule on the constitutionality of laws. Seminal case in the history of the Supreme Court. But, you know, the problem was, either way they would have ruled, everybody thought the Supreme Court was going to be irrelevant because they don't have their own cops. They don't have their own enforcement mechanism. They have no power, but that people believe them and listen to them. And throughout history, we have had many, many other cases. Now, that's not the best example of this, but there have been many cases where the Supreme Court issued a ruling and the governor said, so? Or the president said, so? Or the president, FDR, said, you keep doing this, I'm going to pack the court. And at that time, they didn't have enough authority to avoid it, so they caved on some things. There's a long history here. And he set up that whole history. It's fabulous stuff. That's not the point. The point is where we are now.
Our power, the court's power, like that of any tribunal, has to depend upon the public's willingness to respect its decisions. Respect even those decisions that they disagree with. And respect them even when they think a decision is seriously mistaken. The importance of this respect matters most when a decision of the court strongly conflicts with the views of those in other branches, particularly the president.
You know, the idea of checks and balances, you know, the idea of having, you know, decentralized power, the idea that the president checks Congress, Congress checks the president through impeachment, the power of the purse, the judiciary checks the court, checks the Congress and the president through judicial review, all of that stuff. That depends on our ability as citizens to look at what the court does and respect the decisions, even when they're ones we disagree with, and even when they're ones that are wrong. He could not be more right about anything than saying this. This is exactly correct. It is the willingness of the American people to look at a decision like Obamacare, catastrophically bad decision, and say, nevertheless, we have to live with it. Or a decision on the basis of gay marriage, or a decision on the basis of guns, or a decision on the basis of abortion, and say, terrible decision, depending on your political point of view, nevertheless, we will live with it. That is the key thing for the American Republic, is that we listen to the Supreme Court because we trust that what they're doing is not based on politics, but based on the rule of law, that the law is the same for everybody, and that even though they might disagree, they come to an answer. The game is fair.
But the court packing story is relevant here for another reason. Proposals have been recently made to increase the number of Supreme Court justices. I'm certain that others will discuss related political arguments, for example, will what goes around come around? Are the nomination and confirmation processes working well? Do appointments too closely reflect partisan political division? Has the court itself become politically partisan? This lecture reflects my own effort, however, to be certain that those who are going to debate these questions and related proposals also consider an important institutional point. Consider it. Namely, how would court packing reflect and affect the rule of law itself?
It would destroy it because nobody would believe the court was legitimate anymore. And we have to. Otherwise, there's no rule of law. So if Biden's commission comes up with a 13-member court, or if somehow Nadler and, you know, the others managed to bring in the 13-member court, the Supreme Court would cease being the Supreme Court. It would be just another political entity, and we wouldn't have to listen to it anymore. And that would be terrible for the Republic. I will tell you how this is going to go, because I think I know Governor DeSantis fairly well, and he's not the only one. If they pack the Supreme Court, you're going to have states say, we're not listening to the Supreme Court anymore. and I'm going to be on their side. You cannot have this. And he's not, he's very, very cautiously saying to the people who think he's on their side, don't do this. We have been working for over 230 years to try to create a court that people respect and trust. And we have it. Unlike most countries, we have this. We're here. We avoid fights because we know it would jeopardize the authority of the court. They do. They avoid picking a lot of fights because they know that if they pick a fight and rule on an issue that's controversial, it runs the risk of undermining the high level of credibility the Supreme Court has. They've been working on this for 200 years, and they've finally got it. And in one stroke of a pen, this president could destroy the Supreme Court's authority. And I am not overstating the case. Listen, I'm not one for much vain, strong talk. I'm telling you that if they do this, this is, you know, you talk, it's the end of the republic. There's a lot of people that are going to view it that way. 549 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Beginning of the show, I said we have so much to do that if I just read you the headlines and my reaction, we'd be done. Now do you believe me? After we've talked about PPD and we've talked about the Supreme Court packing nonsense, the destroying of the Republic Supreme Court packing nonsense. Oh my goodness. Andrew, how can you smile? Because, you know, God's still on the throne. And, you know, give it a minute and see what happens. And just when you think something is the most awful thing that could ever happen, there's it's always something worse. You never know. I'm just, you know, that's my attitude. I still love my kids. You know, we can still buy hamburger at the store and beer, maybe a bunch of it. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. But I seriously don't want you to take this the wrong way. Buying beer and hamburger at the store is not going to be enough if this court packing thing happens, because this is enormous. Threat to the country kind of stuff they're talking about doing. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Indianapolis, the latest city to be rocked by a mass shooting. Police spokeswoman Jenna Cook calling it heartbreaking.
It's important to know that emotions are very high here. There are a lot of people, not just officers, but family members who are still arriving and still learning about this incident. This occurred after many went to bed, and some were just now waking up to this.
Happened about 11 o'clock last night. A gunman opened fire at the FedEx building near the international airport there. 8 people dead before he took his own life. Pfizer's CEO says people will likely need a third booster dose of the COVID vaccine. Albert Bourla saying that third dose may have to be taken within 12 months of being fully vaccinated. And he suggests an annual vaccination may also be necessary, like we do with the flu. How many Tyrannosaurus Rexes roamed the earth at one point? Take a guess.
I'm going to go
500.
I'm going to say
500 what? Just 500?
500,000?
I'm going to go 20,000.
You're probably closer. Well, what do you got?
Slightly. Researchers in California believe at one point there were 2.5 billion T-Rexes roaming the earth, around 20,000 existing at any one time. So, you know, two and a half billion were not
like
all at one time.
Over time. Like a total aggregate population over time.
See, this first line is sort of misleading where it says there were 2.5 billion roaming the earth at one point.
Well, that's not accurate. No. That's not what they're saying. They're saying 20,000 at a time. So Davis had it right.
In total.
Ish. Okay.
Wow. Around 20,000 adult T-Rexes existed at any one time. Perhaps maybe it was 2.5 billion all at once. They say one meat-eating dinosaur for every 38 square miles. Kind of like coffee houses.
Can I tell you this? This is the kind of story that makes people not trust science. Because this sounds like the most cockamamie made-up number ever. This is like, oh, we got to get some attention to our department up in here.
I would say,
what can we do? What can we do that'll make some headlines? I know.
Mm. And what do you base that
exactly
number on?
It's like, come on. Just stop.
Every 38 miles, so pick up your fresh coffee and T-Rex.
All right, Mark, thanks for the update. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. Good morning, 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We just got a note in. You know, we've been talking about this morning, and if you've seen the news, you know that this is true. But the shooting at Oakwood Terrace yesterday afternoon, which is in the county, it's not in not in Pensacola City, but in the county, which left six people wounded, five of them went to the hospital, that we now got a note in from the Pensacola Police Department. Mike Wood, good friend and the public information officer for PPD, says, due to possible retaliatory incidents over the shootings yesterday in Escambia County, as in it wasn't in the city, but, you know, we're pretty closely connected. Chief Kevin Crisman, that's acting Pensacola Police Chief Kevin Crisman, has increased patrols with additional manpower and has canceled leave for all officers for the near future. So they're concerned, and has often been the case in the past, right, that you would have spillover consequences. You know, you shoot us, we shoot you, which is, you know, when you have gangs and drugs, this is what happens. And so we're going to prevent this before it becomes a problem. Good. But pretty alarming as well. We'll be back in a minute.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It's 6 o'clock.
A mass shooting in Escambia County last night. The latest details coming up. The anti-riot bill heads to the governor for his signature. And FDOT still says the bridge will be open again by the end of May. Those stories are coming up after this.